I'll go ahead and apologize for my voice. I don't have much of one right now. So y'all pray for me. But I appreciate the Lord. Thankful for all the visitors that are here this morning. What a blessing to look out and see a packed house on the Resurrection Day. Amen. There's nothing like waking up and just, I looked at my kids this morning and I said, kids, he's risen. And that's why we do what we do, because we serve a risen Savior. And so I appreciate everybody being here. We're going to continue in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and we'll just go ahead and read the whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank the Lord for the Bible. And we've looked, and I realize we've got a lot of new people here, maybe that's not normally here at Sunday school. So we've been looking at this chapter here, just verse by verse, just picking things out of it as we can. And we've seen the submission to the shepherd, the sufficiency of the shepherd, the supply of the shepherd, the sovereignty of the shepherd. And we've been dealing here in verse 4 with the security of the shepherd. So obviously, David here is the writer. He's talking, and he's likening God to a shepherd, and him as a sheep. And so we can glean from that today, because we are his sheep. We are his people if we've been born again. And so that's that's why we can apply this scripture to us, and we'll try to do that the best that we can. So we come to verse 4 here, and it says, "Yea, though I walk." So we see that there's an action. And so David, as a sheep, is following the shepherd, and in spite of adversity and things that are coming, he's still walking, he's still progressing. And so that's what we saw first, his action, and that is to walk. And then we saw the atmosphere that he's walking through. He says, through the valley of the shadow of death. And so we realize that atmosphere is probably the hardest place he's ever found himself in. And I've said this time and time again as we've dealt with this verse, probably many of us have never been to the same places that David has been.
You're right.
I've never had someone chasing me, literally seeking my life, as far as I know. If they have, they've not hunted real hard. But David, on the other hand, folks, he had some adversity. Adversity like you and I probably will never experience. So when he says the valley of the shadow of death, he understands the atmosphere that he's in and the desperate place that he is in. And so that's one thing that we need to notice as we continue on, is he's in a desperate place, his atmosphere. And last week we dealt with the next phrase that says, "I will fear no evil." So even in the midst of a bad atmosphere, he had a good attitude.
Right.
And so we answer the why behind that today, and that is because, "For thou art with me." And so that's the most important part. That's the most important part. And as we come to verse 4 here in Psalm 23, I consider this the climax of the passage. Because, you know, the story's building, and as it starts, he's running well, Brother Eric. Things are going good. He's following the shepherd. He's seeing the shepherd. He obviously knows where he's going. He says, "He's got me in green pastures. He's leading me beside the still waters. He's restoring my soul. Hey, he's leading me through paths of righteousness." Boy, that all sounds good, don't it? But then there's a change that occurs. And he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So all of a sudden, there's something that changes in his mind as he's writing this passage. And there's something that goes on that trips a switch and says, man, it's good. And it's good in those good times.
Yeah.
But what is it in those bad times? What is it? And I believe his heart right here just got a hold of it and says, it don't matter, no matter where I'm at, whether things are good, whether things are bad, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so we're at the climax of the passage, and you see a change all of a sudden in the way that he's speaking. See, up to this point, he has said, the Lord, he. You notice that? That's third person. In other words, his audience is the reader. He is telling a story, Brother Jerry, about his life. And so he's writing an autobiography, so to speak, at this point. He's writing about himself. But he's writing about himself to you and I, to the reader. But all of a sudden, we come down here to verse 4. And he finds himself in the valley of the shadow of death. And all of a sudden, his focus changes from you and I, from the reader, from the audience. And notice that the audience changes. Who does he start speaking to?
That's right.
He quit speaking to you and I and telling us about what God's done for him. But he recognizes the place where he's at and understands that at this point in my life, I can't focus on you. Right now, I'm in a desperate place. And at this point in my life, I need God like I've never needed him before. Yeah. And he quits talking to you and I, and he says, I can't help nobody else when I'm in this place. So, God, I need you to help me. And so he looks up and he says, for thou art with me. He doesn't say he is with me. He says, thou. So what that tells us is that immediately right here in this verse, there's a change. He's no longer speaking to you and I, but he's talking directly to the shepherd.
Yeah.
And he recognizes that thou art with me.
Hey.
And folks, I'm thankful for the promise and the truths in the Word of God that you and I as sheep, we can, along with David, just continually say, behold, thou art with me. Folks, what a comfort that we have today. And we can say that because we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
Folks, he was dead, but he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. And because of that, he ascended up into heaven, and then he sent us a comforter, the Holy Ghost, which dwells in our hearts. So I'm thankful that he is with me. And I'm thankful that in times of trouble, you know, that we go through, I mean, so often, folks, we find ourselves in hard places, difficult circumstances, and Brother Matt, it's so easy for me to share the gospel with people whenever things are going good. When things are running well, when God's taking care of me, when there's no sickness, when my family's not hurting, when there's no struggles going on.
Yes.
But what happens in the times of trouble? At that point, it gets real hard to tell other people about a good God when my life is struggling. And so it's then, folks, we must understand that just as David, we are but men and women. And there's times that I can't help you because of the state that I'm in. And so what I have to do is I have to stop and I have to recognize the situation that I'm in and quit reaching out to you and reach out to the only God in this place that can help me. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can help you or I. And there's just times in this life that Brother Kevin, as much as I'd love to pull out my Bible and be able to help you and tell you how good God is and how things are going. But there's times that they just are not going good. There's times in my life that, man, I'm in the valley and I'm struggling and I look around and I don't see God and I say, where is he at? Well, what do we do? We say, Lord, right now I just got to stop where I'm at. And I recognize this place. It's a place of darkness. I'm in a valley. I'm struggling, but I'm glad that there's another end. I know that it's just a shadow. I'm passing from one end to the other, as we've already talked about. And there's going to be an outside. I'm coming through it. Through it. I'm not staying in it, but we're going through. We're passing through. And so, Lord, all I need to know while I'm here, I don't know how long you've got me here. I don't know how big this thing is. All I know is that I need to know that thou art with me. And Lord, if thou art with me, I can just fear no evil. Whatever comes, I can take it because thou art with me. It's good to have him with us, ain't it? And I'm thankful he's with me. And folks, I'm thankful he's with you. I don't know too many people who can be with you and me at the same time when we're in two different places. But I know one. And I, like I said, I'm sorry about my voice this morning, but there are times, you know, we look and we feel for him. We look for him. We listen for him. We reach out to touch him. And we say, where is he at? But yet, at the same time, I have that promise that he's with me. And so I'm thankful for that. And so you understand why I say it's the climax of the passage. It's like David recognizes that no matter where he's at, no matter how bad it is, God is with him. And he can do it through the Lord. That's what Philippians 4:13 is all about.
That's right, yes, sir.
It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's what that verse is about. Whatever comes our way, that's when we can apply that verse. When adversity comes, we can say, I can do it, Brother Kevin. Not in my own strength, but it's Christ which strengtheneth me. See, that's why Paul had it so right over there in Galatians 2:20, and he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
That's right.
Folks, he understood that it wasn't him that was doing any of it. It has to be Christ. And so you say, well, how do you know? How do you know in those hard times that he's with you? Why is it that no matter whether I can feel him or see him or sense him, whatever, why is it that I know that I know that I know that he's with me?
Yes.
This is the only source of strength and truth that I have. It's his word.
Yes.
And the last time I checked, he esteems his word very highly.
Yes.
And the Bible even tells me that it's impossible for him to lie, Brother Jerry. And so I know his word is truth. So where do we find that comfort and that peace to know that he's with us in those valleys that we find ourselves in? We find it in the word of truth.
Hey.
And so what I want to do today is I want to take a little time just to remind you, if you're born again, that he's with you. And he's with me. And if you don't know where to go in the scripture to find that, I'm going to show you some places. So you can know every time you find yourself in those places, Lord, thou art with me. You can still speak to him. You know, David in that valley of the shadow of death, Brother Kevin, it was dim, it's dark. What that tells us, if he's in the shadow, there's something between him and the light.
That's right.
And we talked about that, clouds, all those different things when we dealt with that before, But he can't see him, Brother Rick. So how does he know?
Yes.
We've got it better than David did.
Amen.
We've got David's life recorded for us. We've got Job's life recorded for us. Folks, we should have it easy compared to what those Old Testament saints did.
Right.
but just to hit a few of these for the church. You know, Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then he said, amen. Right? Amen. He says, in other words, let it be. That's true. That's truth. And so we know that he said he's with us. And, you know, we obviously can't deal with these subjects without talking about Job and without David. I mean, I don't know how you do that, really, with the two scriptures that have been on both of our hearts lately.
Yeah, right, brother.
And so we'll read those because they're such a comfort to my heart
and hopefully to yours. But, you know, there are times Brother Kevin preached over there at Mount Vernal the other night and was all over this. And, man, they had two different perspectives. See, in Job's life, he was dealing with all that, and he could never understand why he was going through it and never sense the presence of God. He didn't know. And as far as I know, when you read that, he never found out why. But folks, I'm here to tell you it was for you and I. That's why he went through what he did thousands of years ago, so that you and I could read it and that we could understand. He couldn't understand, but you and I can understand. Why? Because of the Word of God. So Job 23, it's right before the book of Psalms. So this is Job's perspective. He's in the valley of the shadow of death. I told you when we started this that you will find this phrase more in the book of Psalms and in the book of Job than anywhere else in Scripture. But in Job chapter 23, verse 8, Job says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You understand, he could not sense the presence of God. And it was only through his faith. And he didn't have this book.
That's right.
He only had God and his faith in the Lord. And he just said, "I know that one of these days I'm going to get through this." But he still never knew why he was going through it. And as far as I know, until the very end, you know, finally God starts answering. But man, that was a long time coming for Job. And so there's times, folks, we're in these things and there's no presence of God to be found. You and I can't grasp it. We can't see into the spiritual realm. But just because we can't sense it does not mean it's not there. There was a servant's eyes that got opened one day, and he got to see all this host around him that was protecting him. He couldn't see it before until God opened his eyes. And just like us, folks, there's times that our eyes are just shut to those things. And until we come out on the other side, sometimes we just might not see. So we just trust. That's what faith is. It's not blind. It's not blind belief. It's just taking God at his word. That's what faith is, and accepting that over what the circumstances show you. And so that's Job's perspective. But then I read this a couple weeks ago, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 7. Says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." So all of a sudden, we have a different perspective. You see, in Job's life, he looked everywhere and couldn't find him. But David starts looking around and he can't not find him. And he says, "Even there shall thy hand..." Or sorry, I skipped a verse. It says, verse 9, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea," I love this, "the darkness hideth not from thee." So even in the dark, he can see you. It says, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Praise God.
My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. It says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the saint. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Praise God.
You don't find much of a sweeter passage than that. That tells us that no matter what, he's still with us.
Yes.
He's still with us. So you say, well, what form is he in? Right now, what form is he in? Well, he's with us in spirit right now. I can't lay eyes on Jesus. And if somebody tells you they have, they're wrong. Because Jesus said, I must go away.
Yeah.
That's what he told us. Just flip over with me. We're going to read some of these. John chapter 14. And hopefully y'all know what the first part of chapter 14 is. If not, go back and read it. But we come down to verse 15. We'll start right there. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Forever. Even what? The Spirit of Truth. He tells us who's going to abide with us. That's the Spirit with a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he does what? He dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
That's right.
So that's the comforter that we have. That's the presence of the Lord Jesus that dwells on the inside.
Yes, sir.
It's His Spirit. He's three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so we have the third person in the Godhead, in the Trinity, dwelling on the inside of our hearts. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. You see what I'm saying? Jesus saying, you're not going to see me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. How does he manifest himself to us? Through the Spirit. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto me, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him. And he says what? We will make our abode with him. You understand what he's telling them? He says, I'm going away, but this Spirit, in the Spirit, I'm coming to dwell back in you. He says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So you understand a minute ago, he said the Spirit of Truth. Here he's calling him what? The Holy Ghost. So we know they're one and the same. Whom the Father will send in my name. Here's something else that he will do. He shall teach you all things. So if you learn anything, you're going to learn it through how? through the Spirit. If you learn anything about this book, it'll come through the Holy Spirit enlightening you. He's the one that teaches you all things. If you know anything about this book, it came through the light of the Spirit of God. It says, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. That, by the way, that's how the chapter started. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Sounds familiar, don't it? David didn't have to fear. Because why? Thou art with me. So Jesus tells his disciples, you don't have to fear because I'm with you. He said, I'm with you in body right now. There's going to come a day. I won't be with you in body, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave something with you. I'm going to send something to you. That is the Holy Spirit. That's that great comforter that we have. Look at John chapter 15, verse 26. He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, what does he do? He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Pay attention to the things that the Spirit, that we're told that he will do. Because there's a lot of things today that people, Brother Wayne, say that the Spirit does. Bible never tells us that the Spirit will do those things.
Right.
And so that's why we've got to know what God tells us about His Spirit. We're supposed to try the Spirits. How do we know that the Spirit's right? Well, it has to be testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
sir, it starts testifying about man, man's works, man's goods,
yep,
man's miracles. No good.
Right.
Wrong spirit.
Yes, sir.
He says he'll testify of me. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16. I think it was important to Jesus, don't you,
yes, sir,
to tell his disciples this. Chapter 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. He says, I need to go away. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, here's some more things that the Spirit of God does. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So today, if you're here and you're a sinner, guess who comes by and lets you know that you're a sinner? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. How are you awakened to that? Through the Spirit of God. I don't understand all of it. All I know is he said he would do it. He will reprove you of sin, but he doesn't just quit there. He also tells you of righteousness, and he warns you of some judgment that's to come.
Right.
And that's because we're sinners. And God is holy. He says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he... the Spirit of truth, there's that phrase again, has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify who? Me, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who gets the glory. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you.
Yep.
Everything that the Holy Spirit reveals comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about him. See, everything that Jesus owns was owned by the Father.
Amen.
Everything's his. He's the heir, and we're joint heirs with him. Like I said, I don't understand it. We don't deserve this. But folks, I'm glad he didn't leave us comfortless. And so we have a comforter. That is the Spirit of God. But I recognize today there's probably people here that hath not the Spirit of God. Don't know what I'm talking about. Have never experienced his abode on the inside. And Romans chapter 8 talks some about that. Flip over there with me. I'm doing a lot of reading, but I just want you to see what the Word of God teaches about Himself. Romans 8, verse 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his."
Yes, sir.
So if you do not have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that is leading you and guiding you and directing you and awakening you and leading you to truth, bringing you to Christ, then you are none of his. The Spirit's plain. Spirit's plain about that. I lost my verse. Verse 10, I guess, somewhere. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Folks, the same Spirit that raised Jesus, quicken these mortal bodies.
Amen.
Okay? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is an intimate term for a dad, for a papa, for a father. That's what he's saying. I cry, Abba, Father. Because there's a close, intimate relationship. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. So you've got the big Spirit, the Holy Ghost, beareth witness with our spirit. That's our inner man, that inner spirit. It says that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together.
Amen.
Folks, you have no salvation, you have no security, you have no comfort outside of the Lord living on the inside of you.
That's right.
Through the Holy Ghost. That's what it takes. That's what being born again, being born of the Spirit. Right? You remember Nicodemus and the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus? He told him, you must be born again. You got to be born of the Spirit. He said, of the water and of the Spirit. We understand that the water, he goes on to tell him, is that which is flesh, but that which is spirit. Right? You got to be born of the Spirit. You got to have the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside that makes the difference. Look at chapter 8 still, verse 26 and 27. Here's some more things that the Spirit of God does for the believers. The comfort that we have. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for saints, for the saints according to the will of God. Folks, we have all these promises if we have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given us," or given the earnest of His Spirit in our hearts. Folks, He has to come down in and live on the inside. We'll just look at a couple more places and we'll be done. Galatians 4. This stuff is so important. Galatians 4, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son," whereto? Into your hearts.
Yeah.
Crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Through Christ. Ephesians. Just flip over a couple pages there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. So it's talking about Christ again. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So not only does he come on the inside, but he puts a seal on us. And we are sealed by the Spirit of God. That's how we find our security, folks. We know that we're his. The Spirit dwells on the inside. He's placed a seal on us. It says, that's mine. And I'm good until the purchased possession, right there, that he's talking about, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Folks, we're secure can be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you, but you've got to be born again. Chapter 3, a couple pages over, verse 14 through 16, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Whereat? In the inner man.
Right.
Folks, this is not something you can see. You notice how it's always in your heart. It's in the inner man. We can't see him. We just get to sense his presence when he comes by and lets us know about it. I don't even know how to explain it. But I know that Romans tells me that there are times that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We are the sons of God. And I just know that there's something down on the inside that makes me want to go on for God.
Right.
And I appreciate that. And Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Folks, we're secure. We're sealed. How can you unseal something that was sealed by somebody you can't see? I couldn't find the seal to unseal it.
That's right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
But we understand that doesn't, we talk about this all the time. I realize there's people that don't understand all this. I don't understand all this. But Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We just read how Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. That's how we know. That's how we know in John 15 that we abide in him, right? I mean, we got to be attached to the vine. We got to be producing the same stuff that the Spirit produces. If you want to read about that, Galatians chapter 5, we're not going to go there. But we're going to finish with this today. Colossians 1:27 says this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you.
Yeah.
The hope of glory.
Amen. Thank God.
That's the only hope we have, folks.
Amen.
If my hope was in anything else other than Christ today, I'd get that fixed.
Amen.
I'd get it fixed quick. Because outside of Christ, outside of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling on the inside, you are hopeless. The Bible says you are without God in the world. But we're here today to celebrate a risen Savior. That's alive, and he's alive forevermore.
Hey,
and if you're born again, he's alive right in your heart.
Thank God.
And we can celebrate that fact today. And so I appreciate everybody's good attention. We'll quit right there. I hope that's been an encouragement to you to know that in those times of troubles, he's with us. And so I'm thankful for it. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray. Find you a room there with like folks, and we'll pray, and we'll start back at 11 o'clock.